Welcome back to the last hour of this special After Hours. I do think that I will be not on the next Sundays in October, but I'm pleased that I'm on today because David Bloom and I have known each other a long time. We've known each other so long that we used to be young men and would play basketball against each other at some club in town. That's how long ago it was. We were young and played basketball against one each other. He's run a jazz school here for decades now. And when David Bloom tells me that he knows someone that I should hear, I always, always listen. He told me about a singer named Jewel Tansey, and so I'm glad to welcome David and Jewel to the show. How are you guys?
Good. Glad you're okay.
Wonderful.
Well, let me ask you both, because this is how in these weird times we're in, we have to, I have to, because I'm really curious. David, how has your life changed in the last 7 months?
Well, basically, I've been in mostly writing a lot of music. I've written an album and a half.
Oh, that's good.
On top of the music that I'm working on with Jewel, which is a very eclectic album that we hope to release in January.
What about the school? Have you been doing kind of remote learning? As a lot of people, like my daughter Fiona at Jones College Prep, are doing. Have you been able to do that too?
Yeah, I do probably. 15 to 20 Skype lessons a week, people all over the world.
Wow, that's great. Did you always do internationally, or is that something new that popped up during this lockdown?
I would say over the last 2 or 3 years since I started getting into these Skype and Zoom lessons.
Oh, good. So you were, in a way, then you were almost prepared for this kind of nightmare, for lack of a better word. Yeah.
And prepared in a way. I mean, I had never spent this much time in my condo, ever.
Right.
I mean, just being here basically what I've done for the last 3.5-4 months is write music and ride my bike.
Wow. So you must be in great shape.
Getting there.
Okay. Now, Jewel, you have got to tell me, and I guess you can sense what good old friends David and I are. How did you fall into the David Bloom web? How did you first get to meet him?
First of all, thank you for having us.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Can I just say that?
We tried it last year. No, it's some kind of miracle. It's an October surprise because we tried it last Sunday and it didn't work because of baseball. And I'm just glad you're both on. I'm very, very pleased you're both on. So enough about me. How did you fall under the spell of David Bloom?
Oh, wow. So I believe the story, because that's what it's been and still is, it's a story. This happened about 20 years ago. I was working, and a dear friend of mine said, "Hey, James Brown is going to be in town. Let's go see him after work." I said, "Okay." We get to the festival. We see James Brown, the great Godfather soul.
Oh, God, yeah.
Here, standing next to us is David Bloom.
No.
Yeah. I didn't know who David Bloom was, of course.
Well, he keeps a low profile. He's always kept a low profile. So, and he says to you in that inimitable way of his, "Hello, I'm David Bloom," right?
You've got him down great, yeah.
My brother actually does a better imitation of David than I do. And what were you doing then, Jewel? Were you a performer or?
I was actually working, and I was writing. I was performing. I was in a band. Then I formed a band, and it was great. We were playing at different places throughout the city, North Side, South Side, mm-hmm. doing all different types of gigs. So yeah, doing a lot of writing.
What kind of music? What kind of music were you playing?
At that point, I was doing a lot of original music.
Oh wow!
And we were doing a lot of original music, because for a long time I didn't want to do original music. You know, people, when you go out, people want to hear what they know. But people were like, "Wait a minute, these songs are interesting. Do your original stuff." And
wow.
So that's what I was doing. And I realized then that I needed to get back in school.
and David said at that time, "Well, I'm funny you mentioned that. I have a school."
That's great. Yeah.
You know, that's one of the things that's always intrigued me about, every performer of any stature that I know I think people have a tendency to think that they are born singing well, born playing well. It is so interesting to me to learn that almost every great performer is not only lessons and school are a part of life, an ongoing part of life. It's not like graduating, you know, from college and with a degree in accounting and becoming an accountant. It's an ongoing kind of life, isn't it, David? You must know that better than anybody.
Oh, positively. I mean, I've had so many students at all different levels, you know, from, you know, world-class touring musicians who just really wanted to get better to people who were kind of jazz tourists, and they wanted to, you know, try to discover some jazz in themselves, as well as all kinds of other. I mean, I've had students, you know, from many different genres. I had a bass player named Graham Mabey, who played and still plays with Joe Jackson. And he came to town to study for a few months. And, you know, as well as Steve Rodby, who played with Pat Metheny for 30 years.
Sure.
And, you know, I have another student of mine in California. His name is Alex Werman, and he wrote the music for Anchorman and March of the Penguins. You know, as well as Cliff Colnut, who
you've collaborated with on CDs. When you met Jewel, there had to be something a little more than your mutual affection for James Brown. I mean, what did you say to her? Well, what are you doing here? And how did it come up that she was a performer? Did you know she didn't know you, but did you know her, David, at the time?
No, I didn't. I just suggested that Jewel and her friend joined me over at Jimmy's, a bar down in Hyde Park.
Hyde Park.
Just to kind of debrief the concert.
Yeah.
And so we had a nice time, and I think the next morning or the next 2 days later, I had an open house, and Jewel brought Ronaldo Sertain, who was a great, great, talented musician who ended up studying with me for about 10 years. And also ended up doing all of my graphic arts for my book.
Oh, wow. Wow.
He came from a book. He used to work for a publishing company in Venezuela, and then he came and worked at Leo Burnett, and that's where Jewel and Ronaldo met, Leo Burnett.
So, Jewel, that was your straight job working for the Vast Advertising? All right, I am going to keep you guys on all the way till 1:45 or 1:52. So sit tight. We'll take a break here because you both are so lively and interesting, and I want to know what you said to her. Knowing David, the idea, I go, here's a brochure for my school. You might want to go. We'll figure out the real nature of this relationship. So hold on, and listeners, sit tight. We'll be back in about 3 minutes. The collaboration between creative people has always, always intrigued me, and I have two on the telephone. David Bloom, who runs the Bloom School of Jazz and has for, David, how long? I said decades, but how many years?
45.
Well, we were young when we played basketball. He runs the Bloom School of Jazz, and that is the website, bloomschoolofjazz.com. And he has relatively new to his life. He met Jewel Tansy only 20 years ago. They met at a James Brown concert. They continued the conversation at Jimmy's. It went to an open house. Jewel at the time was working for an advertising agency, but also singing and performing in a band. Jewel, at the time, had you gone to music school? Had you had a lot of music instruction, or were you kind of winging it?
I did go to music school because Mom was like, you're going to go and learn how to sing the right way. So, yeah, I had to do the voice lessons, you know, at 12 years old through 15, and just that, then the piano lessons, the whole nine yards. Yeah, for sure, we had to do that. And so, then I continued to take classes and study further, even beyond, you know, those younger years. Yeah.
Sure. You were aspiring to a full-time career in music at the time?
Yes. When I met Bloom at the concert, I was working full time, and I was in the band, and I was doing other work as well.
Wow.
Session singing, demos. Oh yeah, because you try to get the work that you can get.
Oh, sure.
You know, so, yeah, and so it was, it, for years, it was, there was a lot of good work in jingle work, you know. I did a lot of jingle work for years, and then that industry changed.
Yeah, this was, talk to me for a second, yeah, both of you, because I'm, that's an era that I miss, not being in the business, but I hear from a lot of people about, Chicago was the focal point of the jingle industry for a time, was it not?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
it was huge, and, Cliff Colnut, who actually was an alumni, believe it or not, of the Bloom School from the 70s, had a very, very successful commercial music company for years, starting in the mid-80s.
Wow.
And they were doing, you know, tons of spots, national spots, and Cliff was pretty much working 24 hours a day at his business.
So when you two decided, did you... Jewel Tansey, did you start partaking of the Bloom School of Jazz?
Yes, I did. It was just the first 2 years. Well, actually, the first year after I met him, I don't think I started right away because I know I was really busy with work, and I think also the fear of starting school again, just like
sure.
a kid. Anybody's always terrified. Let's just be honest about it. So I was like, oh, I don't know. But then getting into the school and feeling what was going on and learning things that I never thought I'd learned before, that kept me coming back for more.
Wow.
You know, yeah.
And so you've been partaking of the school for on and off for the last two decades, yes?
Exactly. There were years that I would go, I would study, I would get private lessons, I'd take classes. I mean, everything from learning how to scat. I mean, I remember taking classes with him in Spider Sailoff. That was amazing. Doing that one year we had Ryan Cohen was teaching as well. I believe he was teaching. I can't even think that was
it's okay. Spider Sailoff.
Yeah,
let's say a few
years
words.
Ago.
Spider Sailoff is one of the great jazz singers in the history of this town, and just also a really delightful, wonderful woman. Did the taking the classes give you? Did it empower you? Did it give you a sense of accomplishment? Or does one have to go from the class to the stage to get that feeling?
One has to go through the experience.
Yeah.
And that was the one thing that I found at the school that I had not found at any other music school.
Interesting.
Having different music coaches and mentors along the way, but there was nothing like the Bloom School, and there was no one that was able to go inside of my musical soul like David Bloom was. And not only that, but the environment, Rick. That's so important. The environment at the school was just amazing. The classmates, the alumni, it was like being a part of a real music family, not just a school,
yeah,
but a
extended
family and an experience. Yes.
Yeah, the extended family that was the school. Since I'm going to keep you guys on until a quarter two, let's hear. You sent me, you've been working during these last months collaborating on a CD, have you not?
Yeah.
You sent me two tracks, David Bloom, head of the Bloom School of Jazz. Let's hear, during this half hour, a little bit of one, and then I'll play near the end of the show a little bit of another. Which one should we hear, David?
Why don't we start with Done Chasing You?
Adam Phillips, all good? Here it is. Can't wait to hear you, Joel.
All I've ever done is try to help you. All I've ever wanted was to see you do good. Sometimes I feel like you don't understand. Oh, you keep taking me for granted. So this time I'm done. on chasing you. All I ever needed was a simple thank you. When I talk to you, oh, when I talk to you, I never hear an echo. Life is too short, way too short, to waste precious time. Oh, I'm so tired of you wasting mine. You, so this time, I'm done. Done chasing you. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it feels like you don't even understand. You keep taking me for granted, yeah. Ooh, so this time, done chasing you. I'm so done. Done chasing you, oh, so done. You keep wasting all my time. You know I'm done chasing you, so done. I gotta live my life, oh, gotta live.
In a word, wow, that's... fantastic. In another word, fantastic.
Glad you like it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Rick.
I think love it would be the word. Who wrote that song?
Thank you. We are honored.
We wrote that song together. That was the first tune.
Wow.
Yeah, it's kind of the first tune we wrote together, and about maybe 2 years ago, a little more. Jewel was going through kind of a little bit of a dark funk.
Uh-huh.
And I called her up and I said, I think you need to start writing.
Wow.
And so I was sitting in Starbucks one day thinking about just different people who I've been chasing, whether it's a lawyer or, you know, a repairman or whomever. And I just thought, done chasing you really has such a universality to it. Everyone has been chasing somebody.
Sure. You know? David Blum and Jewel Tansey, I love that song. Did you record that 2 years ago?
Yeah, yes, we did. Well, what had happened, I had asked a very fine guitar player who's another alumni of Blum School of Jazz named Pat Fleming. And the three of us went into the studio at Transient, where we've done a lot of work, Transient Studio. And I played bass, and Pat played guitar, and Jewel sang, obviously.
Oh.
And I had planned on the tune to be more of a rhythm and blues type tune.
Save this. Save your thoughts for after the news, because we got a break for news.
Okay.
But I want to hear.
Okay.
I want to hear about the orchestration and the arrangement and all that stuff. We'll be back in about five minutes. So Jewel Tansey and David Blum, hold tight. Welcome back. David Bloom of the Bloom School of Jazz was explaining how he and Jewel Tansey collaborated on the song you just heard before the news. And when you do, you know, there are many parts to, and you guys can explain this to me, there are many parts to a song. There are the words, there's the harmony, there's a lot of other things, and then it's a decision of what instruments come into this thing. Is that fun or is that nerve-wracking for you? Jewel, I'm going to ask you first.
Thank you. It's a lot of fun. It can be nerve-wracking, but it's, again, that's also an experience, and that's why it's so important to have a producer on a project like this, because if you don't, then things aren't going to get done properly. And so that was one of the things I loved, that Bloom was, he was like, okay, you know what, we need to get the rhythm section going. Like you said, we recorded that at Transient Sound, and you have a good engineer. We had, at the time, it was Tyler, I believe, right, Bloom? We had Tyler that was we're done chasing you. And also, we had some amazing musicians, but again, that was something he had to plan on top of that, figuring out scheduling. And when people, a lot of times they don't think about that, you know, those guys are busy, like you said, a lot of these guys are traveling around the world, so scheduling, getting everybody in. And we were so lucky and blessed to have Kahari Parker on every song pretty much on this project, and he was on Done Chasing You along with Pat Fleming and Mike Logan and Ron Hall. Is that correct, Bloom? Did I forget anyone there?
Yep.
I believe. And then later we had the fabulous, I believe it's Brian Wilkie. So I can't thank you enough for asking that question, because you're right. There's so much that goes
into... Oh, my God. It's a collaborative...
And Bloom will tell you the rest of that part, because there's a few more technical things that I know he'll probably tell you, but a lot of planning and then mixing in sessions. I'll leave that for him, because that is very expensive. But, yeah, it is exciting to answer your question.
Well, David, let me ask you, when you and Jewel wrote this song together, and do you start hearing different instruments in your head?
I'll tell you exactly how it worked out. First of all, I was sitting in Starbucks. I thought about that name.
Yeah.
And I immediately called Jewel up and said, "Done chasing you." I think this is the tune. And Jewel immediately, started writing. Some music, and she, Jewel actually wrote the music, which is kind of ironic given that, I'm David Bloom of the Bloom School
of Jazz. Yeah. Wait a minute. My student's taking over.
But so Jewel wrote the music.
Students are having a revolt here.
We worked on the lyrics together. And as I said earlier, Pat Fleming and Jewel and I went in the studio. And after I was playing bass and Pat was playing one guitar part first and Jewel was singing. And then Pat said, he wanted to fill in a little bit more with another guitar part. So this was kind of an unexpected genre. Originally, I had thought this was going to be rhythm and blues, and it ended up kind of country-esque.
Wow.
And I was out hearing another songwriter named Hannah Frank, who actually did some work for me. I went out to hear her, and I heard a steel guitar player named Brian Wilkie, and he's one of these uber musicians who everything he plays is perfectly appropriate for every emotional
everything
gesture.
He's playing.
Just really so rare. And so I had, after the first day, I kind of said, well, this is really probably going to be more of a country-esque type tune. And then I ended up calling up Kahari and Mike Logan, who played piano and organ on it, and Ron Hall. And then Brian Wilkie came and did those incredibly tasty slide guitars.
Yeah.
And then Pat Fleming did the solo at the end.
Now, what's the state of the CD now?
Diminutive, to say the most. there's just not much. Everything now, from what I know, and I'm probably not the best person, because I don't really feel I'm on the inside of the recording scene. I'm kind of a tourist, I guess.
No, I mean the state of this particular CD.
This CD, we have about 11 tunes.
Okay.
We have most of the tunes have 95% done.
Wow.
We're going to do final background vocals And at least for some of them, we're going to do again, you know, the lead vocals, just to see if we can do better. So I would say if the studios were open now, we're about a week and a half to 2 weeks away from having what's called the tracking. That means getting everything down.
Right.
You know, so that you're no longer recording. The rest is mixing and mastering.
Wow.
And then mastering.
Yeah, right.
Do you have previous CDs?
Songwriter CDs, like demo CDs from, you know, that you would have, like when you're trying to get gigs before
doing the band stuff.
And, you know, and then songwriter CDs, that those things. But then with the nice thing about being with the school, we had a couple of projects. We had the showcase, which was wonderful, the Perfect Chair showcase. That was years ago. And then we also had another celebration. Was it the 40th bloom? The school was 40, I believe, 1 year. And we had that wonderful celebration of the school.
How does it feel for you?
Even at the main stage.
How does it feel for you, who've been obviously a passionate musician most of your life, to be on the precipice of putting together and releasing? And I'm just basing it on that one song. If the rest of the CD is like that, it's going to be a smash. How does it feel? Oh. How does it feel for you?
Oh, yeah. Well, first of all, again, thank you.
My pleasure.
For that question. And again, thanks for having us on.
No, it's my pleasure.
I do want to just go back a little bit. You mentioned about orchestration.
Yeah.
That's another important part. We just, because so much was involved with this project and answering your question, it feels amazing. But one of the things that was equally amazing was watching how arrangements are put together, Rick.
Yep.
When you were talking about orchestration,
yep.
You know, Bloom had, we had, when he told me that Cliff Colnett, because he mentioned him earlier, and I'm so glad. When he told me that Cliff Colnett was going to be doing the horn and string arrangements, honestly, I nearly fainted. I did, because it's just mind blowing. You heard the orchestrations; it's insane.
Well, it sounds fantastic. I'm going to play one more song after we're finished talking, and then I'm going to read a short homage to the baseball player Bob Gibson, who died over the weekend on October 2nd at 84. One of the most, he was talking about an artist in a sport. Bob Gibson was a pitcher for this dreaded, hated in Chicago, St. Louis Cardinals. Mm. Are you, Jewel, were you performing before the world shut down?
We were working, thank goodness.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I'm so grateful for, because I was not out performing regularly with this past year, but we were out working on this project.
Wow.
I mean, he had other projects, but I personally have been just writing and working on the project, but also just growing still as a student. I still consider myself a student.
Yeah.
I mean, I appreciate, you know, the compliments, but really we have to keep learning what we can do to become better and what we can do to maintain what we have. I just believe that. So, yeah, I mean, I thank goodness we had this project to work on before this pandemic.
No kidding.
You know, it has really been a saving grace. It really has.
Well, I'm not surprised. David, continued success. Maybe we'll go play basketball. They have heart attacks on the court.
Man.
Yeah, and have heart attacks on the court. Jewel, it is a pleasure to meet you. David was talking so highly of you, and you have lived up to every one of his praiseful sentences about you. And I hope. I hope to meet you in person one day. I hope that's possible. I'd love to hear you.
I'd also love to
hear you sing in person. There's one thing about hearing a great voice on a CD, but as both of you have performed considerably, and I was talking to Libby York a little before on the show, and we were talking about the incredible intimacy and energy one gets from a crowd of people listening to your music. Isn't that true?
Yes, you are right about that.
Yes. David, don't you think?
I think when I've played with my band, it's a completely different context from recording in the studio. When you play with people, you can kind of hear
the echo
yeah.
of what you're playing in the people.
Yeah.
And either it's amplified or it's like in, I think they call it an anechoic chamber where there's no bounce.
Right.
That's a horrible.
Right.
Horrible,
but it's also a way, it's also a way to, you know, that communal sharing of this passion is a rare thing. It's a rare gift that, many, many, not all, but many, many musicians have. You two are a great team, from James Brown to Jimmy's to the open house at David Bloom's house. It is a road not that well traveled, but you two, you sound, that's just a great song. I'll play one more before the end of the show, but I will let you guys go now and tell you to be safe and to be well, okay?
Oh, thank you. We should.
My pleasure. I'm so glad we're able to pull this off. So glad.
Oh, thanks for having us.
All right. Take care, you two. Take care.
You do the same.
Keep making music.
Bye.
Okay, take care.
Thank you.